Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
We are today continuing a series, Thanks in All Things. We're giving thanks in all things. And so, of course, November is a great time to kind of reset your gratitude barometer and remind yourself to be a thankful person. And I know that in theory, we should be thankful all year long, but it is a good idea, I think, in November to kind of focus on thankfulness and gratitude and to head into the Christmas season with hearts that are very grateful and very grounded in God's faithfulness and in his goodness. So today we are in John chapter 16, verses 16 to 33. If you've been paying attention to church, you know that we went through the book of John for several months, but somehow I managed to not preach on this specific passage in John. So you guys haven't heard it recently. It's John 16, 16 to 33. It says there's two main things that are being talked about here. The first one is your sorrow will turn into joy. And the second one is Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Okay, so a little while, I'm reading in the ESV, by the way, a little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you're asking yourselves? What I meant by saying a little while and you will see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. So he's going to get more direct. He says, in that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. I love this part. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. So his disciples said, now you are speaking plainly and now not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? He's like, you get it now? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. this is the message for today. And I actually titled it The Problem of Pain, because there is sorrow coming. This is what Jesus is talking to his disciples about. And he says, in this world, you will have trouble. So when we talk about gratitude and thankfulness, I think for some of us, we go, that's easy on some days, but there's other days where I have nothing to be thankful for, or I'm really, really struggling because there's a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow. Or when we look at the world that we're in right now and we see the brokenness, the selfishness, the anger, the bitterness, the hatred, the jealousy, and all of the things, we can struggle to see, like, how can I be thankful for this? How can I be grateful? How many of you have heard the phrase "no pain, no gain"? Right? Yeah, it's a common term, and it's about, you know, work hard, work harder. It's okay. Like, it's gonna hurt right now, but it's worth it in the end. I'm thinking that there are so many different things in our lives where we start out with a little bit of pain, but then it produces something like growth, or it hurts for a little while and then it doesn't hurt anymore. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Bianca was playing the guitar this morning and she played for 3 whole songs. And sometimes I stand up here and talk and pray for a while and she has to play for a whole lot longer. And if you've ever tried to play a chord on the guitar, then you know it looks easy, but actually it really hurts these fingers. And the first time you play, maybe you play 1 or 2 songs and you feel great. And then you go back and try to play again an hour later and you realize, oh my gosh, my fingers are killing me. They are cutting right now. Like, it's like knives in your fingers as you put your fingers on those strings. Well, that's because you need to develop calluses. Now, it's not like something gross that we see on Bianca's fingers. It's not visible to everybody else. But because she spent so much time playing the guitar, she has these things where her fingers are better than my fingers when it comes to guitar. She has strength because she's endured the pain. And I, unfortunately, have never been brave enough to endure the pain of getting good at guitar. And so that's why Bianca plays the guitar so great and I only play the piano, because the piano doesn't hurt your fingers. There's no pain involved there. What about breaking in new shoes? Yeah. We've all had a few experiences with that, right? Where you get a new pair of shoes for something and you're all excited to wear it to an event, and you forget that you should have broken them in first. You should have worn them a bit, because they're going to hurt for a little while, but then afterwards they're going to feel great, and it's going to be like the most amazing shoe. But there's sometimes a little bit of pain. Anybody that's developed muscles, muscle growth, there's pain as the muscles are developing, right? You have to work through it. Even things like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. Like, we're not supposed to interrupt that process. Somebody will see, like, a butterfly trying to break out of that cocoon, and the instinct is, I want to help. I don't want them to go through the struggle. But actually, if you interrupt that process, that butterfly will never be able to fly. Because there's something about that process of breaking out of the cocoon and that discomfort, that struggle, that actually produces the strength that is necessary to be able to fly. So, pain. Jesus tells his disciples about it. He's telling them, actually, I know the end of the story. I know that it might seem hard in the moment, but I know how it's going to end up. And this is something that's very specific to our faith in Jesus and to Christianity, is that we are taught that the struggle actually and the pain produces something good in us. And in the end, we get to have joy and peace, and that there is something that is promised for us, hope, everlasting life. And so we're able to persevere and make it through painful situations, and we're even willing to put ourselves in uncomfortable places, like, say, a Bible study or a connect group where you're talking to somebody else about the Bible or about your faith or about your questions or about your doubts. You put yourself in an uncomfortable position because you believe in the end it will produce something that is worthwhile and good. It's why we show up to church. It's why we open up our Bibles. It's why we pray for somebody. You know, it's not that it's not uncomfortable at times, but it's because we believe that it will produce something good in our lives and good in somebody else's life. But here's what the world tells us to do when it comes to pain. Avoid it at all costs. Do whatever you can. And there's so many different ways. How about numbing pain? That's one that I defaulted to whenever my girls were cutting teeth, babies cutting teeth, screaming in the middle of the night. There's this gel you can put on their gums to numb the pain, because it's just like we're all feeling the pain of them teething. There's a human tendency to try to numb pain rather than feel it and face it. And we do it all sorts of different ways. Overeating, binge watching, you know, like, you know, just go Netflix binging or scrolling endlessly. It could be overworking. It could be shopping. It could be shopping would probably be my number one. Even staying constantly busy. It's like we're blocking out the pain, right? We're distracting ourselves from the pain, numbing it. That's why, you know, you'll take like drugs occasionally just to numb the pain, and then you find yourself stuck on it because it's like there's always more pain and you're trying to numb yourself. You never set off like trying to abuse drugs. Nobody's like trying to do that. They're just trying to numb pain. They're just trying to escape for a little while. And so what we do is we trade short-term comfort for long-term healing. Like we're missing out on our long-term healing because we're just so concerned about the comfort right now, the short term. Avoidance, that's kind of a lot with like that overworking, staying busy. We try to avoid our pain. I remember I got one of my dogs accidentally sort of bit me. Now, didn't really bite me, but it was when he was a puppy. And his tooth ended up in my finger, and it was super painful, and it was, like, horrible. And he didn't do it on purpose, but it was, like, horrible. And I wanted to black out. Like, I was like, this is horrible. I can't handle it. I told Matt about it, but I wouldn't let him see it because here's what I did. I just wrapped it up really tight, and I was like, I don't want to look at this thing right now. I just don't want to deal with it. Have you ever felt like that with some sort of pain in your life? You're just like, I can't right now. I don't even want to think about how I feel because it's too much. It doesn't, though, make it go away. All it does is it allows the wound to fester and infection can set in, bitterness, whatever. You know, things can happen. It's not actually good. One of the ways that I've done plenty of times when I'm dealing with pain is I try to use control. So like, what can I control in my life? What is the thing? You know, because I'm feeling so much pain. So for me, it would be more like I can control what I'm eating or I can control what I'm doing. Just trying to manage everything, make everything perfect to make me feel less in pain. Denial. I'm fine. I'm good. It's all good. We can try to blame other people for why we're in pain rather than take responsibility for the healing that needs to happen in our lives. I don't know. about you. I've certainly done that. It's easy to just point the finger at somebody else. That's why. We'll use comparison. I really don't like this one. We'll try to like minimize our pain by comparing it to somebody else. Well, you know, she lost her husband and I only lost my job. You know, that's an example. It's like what happened to you, and it is painful and it's something you need to face and deal with. If you don't, then you're missing out on the life of freedom that God gave you. And so spiritual platitudes, God's got this. You just say, you know, God's got this. I mean, it's nice in theory, but like it doesn't really speak to the actual pain that somebody's feeling. When my dad died, somebody told me, like one of the guys that picked me up from the airport to fly in to, you know, to be with my mom, he said, God needed another flower for his garden. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that the God that created the whole earth has plenty of flowers and did not need my father for a flower, right? So platitudes, they don't really work. They don't address the humanity, the pain. But the thing about Jesus is that in the midst of our pain, he says, oh, wait, pain has a purpose. It's not like God goes around trying to cause pain in our lives. He's not willing it on us. It's the fact that we live in a broken, sinful world. This world is not perfect, right? From the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, then brokenness entered the world. And that's the reason why we have pain. But here's what God does is he says, if you are willing to go through the pain and trust me with it and surrender to the process of healing, then actually it will work out for your good. So what the enemy would try to use to destroy you, would try to do to cause you to live all these ways that I just said, numbing yourself from life, avoiding things, trying to control things, in denial, distracted, blaming, comparing. Instead of that, what you end up is free and healthy. And then you could say, like Joseph did, what you meant for evil, God used for good. And so whatever the pain is in our lives, I think this whole thankful and grateful, thankful in all things, it can only happen if you really believe that God is sovereign, if you really believe that God is in charge of your life, if you're really willing to trust him with your life and say that no matter what painful, difficult, hard thing might come my way in life, I believe that if I stay surrendered to God, he is going to work in me his character and his heart, and he is going to cause me to still be fruitful. And I'm going to look back on this thing and see God's provision and his care and his love. And it does not mean that God wants you to be going through bad things or that he's looking for things to trip you up or slow you down. What it is Jesus said it, verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Because he knows that this broken world is not peaceful, right? You know all those beauty pageants, the women always say, I want world peace. It sounds good. We all want peace. But the thing about the world is it's not very peaceful because it's full of jealousy and selfishness and greed and hatred and bitterness and brokenness, broken people far from God. And so he says, I know that this world isn't peaceful, but in me you get to have peace. I like peace. That's why I like the Christmas season. I like the soft lighting. I like the candles. I like all the pretty scents and the decorations. I like to feel at peace. I like silent night, holy night. Like, I like that sense of peace inside my soul. In the world, you will have tribulation. He says it. It's like very clear. It's gonna... Tribulation is another word for just saying hard stuff. You will have some hard stuff, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I love this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She's a woman who her husband died a brutal death. He was a missionary pilot. And he flew into this village and with the intent to give supplies and then to introduce the people to Jesus. And he and a few other guys, they showed up and they all got killed. Like, it was brutal. And his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, said this: God will not protect you from anything that will make you more like Jesus. God will not protect you from anything that will make you more like Jesus. She said, suffering is never for nothing. And she said, the deepest things I've learned in my own life have come from the deepest sufferings. There's another guy, actually, a pastor named Tim Keller. He's passed away a few years back, but he said, while other worldviews lead us to sit in the midst of life's joys, foreseeing the coming sorrows, Christianity empowers its people to sit in the midst of this world's sorrows, tasting the coming joy. That Christianity empowers us to sit in the midst of this broken world, and we know what's coming. We know the hope that is coming. We know what Jesus has for us. And Tim Keller also said, suffering is unbearable if you aren't certain that God is for you and with you. And that is why you would try to escape the pain. That's why we try to numb ourselves from it, deny it, blame shift, use platitudes, all the things, is if we're not certain that God is with us and for us. And so I feel like this is a really good day to remind us God is with us and God is for us. That there's nothing that we can do to earn God's love or his grace, but he just pours it out freely. So it doesn't mean that one person gets it and the other one doesn't based on what they have or have not done or who they have or have not been. That God's grace is so complete that all we have to do is reach out to him in surrender and say, God, I need you. See, Jesus said, you will weep and lament. That's verse 20. But the world will rejoice. But then he says, your sorrow will turn into joy. And no one, verse 22, no one will take your joy from you. He said that we are overcomers and that we are never alone. I love all of these things because it's just so powerful to be reminded that we are never alone, that we are overcomers, and that our sorrow will turn into joy. It shows that our pain has a purpose. So Romans 5, 3 to 4, I wanted to close with this. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. In a hopeless world, right, often very, very hopeless, I think that this verse shows us what it looks like to live a hopeful life. It doesn't mean that we should enjoy pain, but it means that we can rejoice in what suffering's going to produce in us. That through our suffering, God's going to use it as a tool to mature us, to grow us, to strengthen us. So Instead of being depressed and despairing and overwhelmed, I can actually trust God with the pain. I can trust Him in the midst of it. And then suffering, this scripture says, suffering, when met with faith, builds endurance. Endurance means the ability to last. I know a lot of people that start out with Jesus, but what about being able to last? I know a lot of people when they start out with their marriage, oh, it's so happy, it's so wonderful and perfect, but it's hard to last. I know that, you know, so many things in life, endurance, lasting, it's hard to do. But when we build our endurance with faith, then we can see ourselves going longer, being stronger. And then we have perseverance. And perseverance is persistence, even when something is difficult or there is a delay in getting the results that you want. Persistence when it's difficult. You know, it's not doing what I thought it would do. But when you believe in it, when you believe in God and you trust in Him, then you're willing to go through it because you're believing that it will produce something beautiful in your life. So I want to encourage you. This hope is not wishful thinking. It is confident expectation that God is good and that He has good things for you. I want to encourage you, prophesy over your life. You know that we are a Pentecostal church. That means we believe that we can speak words of encouragement over each other. You can speak a word of encouragement over your own life and remind your soul who God is. Remind your soul what He has done for you. You know, you speak to that weary, hurting soul and remind yourself who God is. When you see somebody else struggling, you remind them who they are. You speak life over them. You say, your sorrow will turn into joy. Trust Jesus. God's Holy Spirit in you is going to empower you to be an overcomer. But we've got to trust that there's something good coming. And if we don't, it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be really hard. The scripture used the example of giving birth to a baby, and I did that 3 times, and I never had any medications. So it was kind of painful. But I remember not the pain. I remember holding these babies, these little girls, crying in my arms, and I was like, I am their mother. Oh, my gosh. These beautiful gifts from God. And I did, the pain was like, it was a few hours of my life. But every day I get to see God's love and His life shining through their lives. And, but you gotta trust that it's gonna be worth it. Otherwise you say, I tap out. I can't do this. It's too much. I want to remind you today, it's not too much. God has you. Don't try to get out of stuff prematurely. Let God develop His character in you. Learn how to trust Him. This is what you're doing right now. It feels shaky. It feels uncomfortable. It feels vulnerable. It feels all of these things. But it's worth it in the end because it produces somebody who does not have to numb their way through life, can embrace everything and say, not a platitude, not God's got this, but say, I'm trusting in a very good God, and it's very hard right now, but He is very good. And so we say, Holy Spirit, we need You because we can't make it through without You. We can't will ourselves to do it in our own strength.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.